a very different side of drugs and how we talk about them. As Dry January comes to a close, I wanted to turn our attention to sobriety beyond the calendar month and the new ways we're talking about it. As the non-alcoholic cocktail industry booms and bars are adding more non-alcoholic drinks to their menus, the language around abstaining from alcohol is changing too. Terms like non-drinker and sober curious have become more popular, but there's still a stigma around not drinking at all or addressing the realities of alcoholism. This is the topic that writer Sarah Wood explored for The Cut. It's called I'm Tired of Explaining Why I Don't Drink. And Sarah joins us now on Culture Shift. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Ryan. Thanks so much for having me. I'm super excited.
It's a pleasure to have you. Now, you start your article by recounting your last drink. Take me back to that moment and what you realized about your own relationship with alcohol.
Totally. So the listeners can have an image of who I am. You know, I'm 25 years old. I grew up in Michigan. I went to University of Michigan, big state school. Drinking was totally a part of college, and moved to New York, worked in finance. Drinking was still part of our social lives. It was how you spent time with each other. It's just in your language, like, want to get drinks. You want to go on a date. It's probably drinks. You know, it was just totally embedded in the way that I interacted with people and really just with my identity. And, you know, so I'm at this party, and this is last April, so like 9 months ago. Small like group of friends, we're outside, we're on a roof. And I was just standing there and I was holding this drink and I was like, I don't really like this. And it's something that I had thought in college, but had never imagined, you know, there just wasn't another option. Like, how was I going to go to a tailgate and not drink? You know, I didn't see any examples of people that did that. And I, you know, in all of the movies and the shows, like, people that don't drink, there's this stigma around it. You know, people always are asking them why. And I was like, no, you know, I don't have to stop. There's nothing wrong with me. And it was at that party, at that moment. And, you know, I think a lot of people with quarantine and COVID have really been thinking about their lives and how they spend their time and who is in their life. And, you know, I think it's been a really reflective moment. And so I was standing there and I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And I went home, and then the next day I was like, I'm just going to see how long I can go without drinking. And I mean, that was my last drink. Like, I didn't say like, oh, this is my last drink, but I was like, let's do an experiment. And yeah, that was 9 months ago last April.
I know that a lot of people that listen to Culture Shift have gone through this too, have been trying a dry January, have been in those situations where people ask them questions about why they're not drinking. So our phone lines are open, 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019 to join this conversation around your own experiences with sobriety or being sober curious and how you handle some of the stigma or that FOMO, that fear of missing out that comes along with giving up alcohol. Again, 313-577-1019. Now, Sarah, talking about that stigma and how we actually talk about it when you go out and you're not drinking, you wrote in your story, of all the things I anticipated might happen when I stopped drinking, I never expected to need talking points. What did you mean by that?
Well, so I was like going back to my talking points, and it's been funny now. So one, like, a major prop to The Cut and the editor that supported this essay and got it published. And I think I was shocked because I thought it was like such a niche topic, and it has like 20,000 likes. Like, it like totally blew up. And so obviously it's not just a conversation I was having. And like, I think we could all do well with like a shared doc of talking points. But really, I had spent those first couple of months as I was figuring it out, I was embarrassed and I had like a lot of shame. And, you know, I was thinking about who I was in college and you know, all the things that maybe had happened when I had been drinking. And I just, like, I spent, like, months, like, kind of, like, just, like, walking on my knees, you know, and just being, someone would ask me, you know, just, like, a normal question. People are curious, like, oh, why aren't you drinking? And I felt like I needed to explain and, like, pull out this laundry list of, you know, all the things that I had done or had happened. And I was like, this is so hard, and I'm exhausted, and I'm tired. And I read this book called How to Quit Like a Woman by Holly Whitaker. It's an amazing read. But she had this part where, and like the light bulb went off for me, where I was like, no, it's actually quite brave to do this. You know, it's actually like kind of like pretty cool. It's like go to like a dance party sober, like go to a wedding sober, and just like be fully comfortable with yourself. And so there was like this moment where I shifted how I viewed myself, instead of being like, wow, there's something wrong with me, to be like, wow, this is actually like quite cool. And I think people definitely pick up on the energy that you are carrying about yourself. And there was definitely a shift when I was able to talk about it with a sense of pride and courage. And instead of talking about all the things I had lost when I had been drinking, I started to talk about what I had been gaining, you know, and being like, yeah, like I've been writing so much. I started doodling. I'm training for the Berlin Marathon, you know, to the point that I didn't need to say like, oh, you know, I'm not drinking because of all these reasons. Instead being like, look at all these things that like not drinking is giving me. And then that conversation doesn't live in the past and doesn't live in me apologizing, but rather like it's this amazing leaping off point to be, so people could see who I actually was, you know, because I stopped drinking because I wanted to stop talking about drinking. I wanted to stop living in that person I was when I drank. And just switching my language just was, it was life-changing and transformative for me.
You're seeing that big shift for yourself personally, but you write, you know, when you do say you're not drinking, people were greeting you with suspicion or a raised eyebrow. And one of the biggest questions you bring up and really informs your essay is this question: are you an alcoholic? And you write that there's a lot of judgment and stigma around having to even answer that or reckon with that question, or having to answer something so personal to someone.
Completely. And it's, you know, it's so heartbreaking how wide-reaching alcohol use disorder is. Like, and it's also, the numbers are also probably widely underreported, and, you know, it's heartbreaking. And so for us to just like, and I'm in everyone's defense, like I also probably in college, if someone wasn't drinking, I'd probably be like, oh, why aren't you drinking? You know? And I think it's just, we just need to take like that one beat to pause. And instead of asking why, just being like, cool. And, you know, and I think there is that assumption, because of the way historically we have talked about it, the way that it has been portrayed in movies and in rom-coms and in books. And, you know, there's always that visual of, you know, the 12 chairs at the AA meeting. And, you know, I think we need to move away from the way that we make those assumptions and the way that we even ask people, you know, because it's just like so interesting. It's the one thing that like no one's going to ask you, like, I don't know, if you're like, oh, you know, I don't drink, and people are going to be like, okay, you know, like why? But if someone's like, oh, you know, I don't eat gluten, or I don't ride a unicycle, or, you know, like all these things, no one's being like, why? Is there something, you know, making an assumption about who you are as a whole person? And so I think that's where there's such an evolution that our language can have, because there is a full range of reasons why people stop drinking for many. And, you know, it is a medical condition and they do need to stop. But for some, you know, it's religion, it's personal preference, it's health. It's, you know, I had dated someone who was like an Olympic athlete, and he was like, you think I'm going to put alcohol in like this amazing machine, you know? And so I think the more that we start to think about, you know, it's not one reason why people stop drinking. Two, we don't need to know, you know, and instead of asking why you stop drinking, maybe the better question is, what have you gained from stopping?
That's one of the things that you propose in your essay, is this change of language. Some of the alternatives are things like sober curious or non-drinker. And I, you know, even these aren't a perfect solution. I love what you wrote about them. You said, sober curious worked in the beginning, but not when I became certain that I was done drinking for good. Non-drinker was then the most accurate term, but it felt silly to define myself by what I'm not. So what language have you settled on today?
So, I mean, I use the word sober. I use non-drinker. But really, like, I think of that as like the long list of things I describe myself as. Maybe that's like the 10th thing, because not drinking has made me a better daughter, a more thoughtful friend, a more considerate sister, a stronger writer, a faster runner. You know, there's so many things that I identify as before I feel like I need to explain whether or not I drink alcohol. And so as I talk about this lifestyle choice, I would prefer not to talk about it at all, you know, and if I need to, I want to talk about those things that I'm able to do with the time, with the clarity that I have, with the extra money, you know, with the communities that I've ended up in, because I'm no longer socializing in that way, you know, like standing around, like having a drink. I'm in a running club. I'm, you know, hosting dinner parties. I'm in a writing group, like all of these amazing things that I think really feed my soul. And so when I talk about not drinking, I want to talk about the things that I'm doing now.
313-577-1019 is the number to join this conversation. As we wrap up Dry January, taking a look at the idea of sobriety beyond that calendar month, taking it further, and what your own experiences are with giving up alcohol. We're talking to Sarah Wood. She wrote the article for The Cut. It's called, I'm Tired of Explaining Why I Don't Drink. Do you feel the same? Are you tired of explaining why you don't drink to strangers at parties? 313-577-1019. I'd love to hear from you and talk about your experience. And we do have a caller on the line. Let's go ahead to John on the East Side. You're on Culture Shift.
So thank you so much for talking about this. And I no longer have any problems. I'm a recovering alcoholic, haven't touched it since 96. Don't miss it, not a minute, not a day.
Amazing.
But it has created tensions with coworkers going out after work. It's created tensions in my Irish Catholic family. Some people just can't get over. Well, you know, when I was drinking, I didn't think it was normal to not drink every day. You know, so it's hard. And people, oh, you can drink Old Duels, and I'm like, I don't drink alcohol. I don't want it. I don't want any. You know, and then when you say I'm a recovering alcoholic, and they're like, well, you're not an alcoholic. I've never seen you. Well, that's right, because I don't drink. So it's a stumble with some people to understand that.
Has that gotten better over time, or have you gotten, I don't know.
I'm over it.
You're over it.
I don't care.
You don't care anymore. Yeah.
I don't do heroin. I don't have to explain that. I know. It's just... So, and a lot of my cousins and my siblings are recovering, abstaining alcoholics. So there's a lot of us that don't. And it's funny, in the entertainment business, there's a lot of people that don't drink now. But, man, the stories from 30, 40 years ago, even 10, 15 years ago, it was an all-day party, you know.
John on the East Side, thank you so much for the call. We really do appreciate it. Let's go ahead to another caller, Greater Alexander in Midtown. You're on Culture Shift. What's going on, Alex?
What's going on? Yeah, so this is definitely up my alley. I've been sober for pretty much a little bit, going on a decade now. And I started this whole concept of trying to get artists to understand that, you know, when you do drink, you're actually gambling a lot of your time away, and you're actually gambling your creativity away in a way that can completely change the trajectory of what you're creating. And from my own experiences, I just realized how much of a change that made in my own impact of life when I just stopped any type of drugs, whether it was alcohol or cannabis, which was my thing too. But
well, Alex, you bring up a really interesting point. I think a lot of times writers, artists, creatives tend to think that drugs can be a greater connection to creativity versus the other way around.
Exactly. And that's not the case in my experience.
So you're actually creating a sober residency for artists to be able to work out of.
Correct. Yep. Greater Impact House. And it's literally right down the street from you guys. So, and I still would love for you to come visit.
Definitely. We appreciate the call, Alex. If anyone wants to get information about that, where can they go?
Just greaterimpacthouse.com.
Appreciate the call. Thank you so much. So, Sarah, I want to bring this back to something that we're kind of touching on with these callers, which is the role of alcohol in the social fabric versus the idea of being sober. I mean, something I keep thinking about during this conversation is that that word sober has the connotation of no fun, that you are a no fun person if you're sober. And that creates its own stigma and ultimately that fear of missing out, which is something that you reckon with in your essay.
Totally. And it's, you could ask like any of my friends or my parents, like, since I stopped drinking, I like am myself, you know, I have so much more energy. I really believe like when you start saying no in one part of your life, it gives you the ability and the language to say no in other places. And so like setting this one boundary has, you know, helped me set boundaries on like the time that I'm working and the people that I'm hanging out with. And I mean, I love these stories from these callers because it is hard, you know, not everyone's going to understand. And you just trust that the people that know you deeply will understand, and the people that don't and that aren't like trying to understand, maybe they aren't the people that you should be spending time with, you know? And I would say in the past year, like relationships have fallen away and, you know, new relationships have grown because it is embedded in the way that we socialize. I think in part because there's like, I think it's like $1.5 trillion in the alcohol marketing industry, you know, and there is this belief that you're not going to fall in love if you don't drink, you're not going to be fun if you don't drink, you know, all of those narratives that are everywhere. And there's in New York, and I think it's actually around the world, it's called Daybreaker, and it's this like morning dance party rave. It's completely sober, it's like 5 a.m., and so I started going to that and I was like, I just want to dance, you know? And so I started dancing at those parties. I started taking workout classes that felt like dance. Like, I think that I have like this light about me that alcohol was dulling, even though maybe I wasn't drinking that much compared to the norm or anything. But really it's this, the overhang of living my life to make other people comfortable is gone. And now I'm just doing the things that I really want to do that make me feel really good. And I think that's like the most fun thing in the world because like there is no such thing as like one way liberation. That's Glennon Doyle says it in her book, which I love. Like when you are fully stepping into your own power and you're doing what's best for you, it gives everyone around you that same permission. And the people that love you are going to just be so excited that you are the person you've always wanted to be. And so I see that in, you know, I have like an amazing group of girlfriends. We totally used to go out for drinks and now we just do different things. And I think that those relationships that really matter, they're going to be excited that you're evolving in the way that you wanted to. And I love that part about creativity. Like, my friends are so excited that I'm writing and drawing. They're like, yeah, we don't care that we're not hanging out in this same way that we used to. They're like, we're just so happy that you're living your dream. So I think that idea that not drinking means you're not fun, I think it's a fallacy. Like, I think that needs to go. And the way that we can get rid of it is just, one, talking about it. Like, it's been, I mean, I'm amazing, too, that these callers called in because shame lives in secrecy, right? Like if people aren't willing to talk about this, like people don't know that it's fun to not drink, or people don't know that you're more creative, or, you know, those personal experiences. And people want to hear stories that sound like them. And when I first was considering stopping drinking, I couldn't find those stories because it was still so stigmatized to talk about it. And I found some, you know, there's books by Ruby Warrington and Holly Whitaker, and there's growing literature about it. But I think the more that we have conversations like this, people just talk about it with their friends and their family, that's when the shame disappears, is when it becomes something that people are no longer ashamed of.
I'm going to put out the number there one more time if anyone wants to join this conversation. 313-577-1019 is the number to join. Culture Shift here as we talk to Sarah Wood about her article for The Cut. It's called I'm Tired of Explaining Why I Don't Drink. And Sarah, you mentioned, you know, the trillions of dollars that go into marketing alcohol. Well, that is shifting a little bit. You know, we're seeing a boom in the NA drink industry. Last year, beverage sales, non-alcoholic beverage sales, reached $331 million. Which was an increase of 33% from the year before. There's actually non-alcoholic liquor stores in New York City now. So you're seeing this trend change. And you write, why the tide is turning, we need to examine what we assume when someone says they aren't drinking and hold our impulse to ask why. I'm curious, what has your response been to this article that you wrote so far?
I mean, the response has been, honestly, like greater than I could have ever dreamed, right? Like I was like, oh, you know, I'm so amazed that's going to be published. I never anticipated it would be read. You know, I kind of thought it would go up on the website, and then I thought it was like a niche topic. And so it was crazy, honestly. I was like sitting in my childhood bedroom, and my parents were downstairs, and they were like, Sarah, like, because it just blew up. And I'm still getting messages today, people wanting to talk about it, people like just so grateful that there is this awareness that there is no good language right now. I thank God, I thank the universe, I thank all the things, because it was such a greater response than I would have ever anticipated. And I have learned a lot from it in the conversations. I went to an AA meeting in New York just to go, because I had written that, you know, AA wasn't for me. And I was like, if I am going to, if people, like 20,000 people are going to like this post and like more are going to read it, like I want to make sure that I am honoring and like really fully understanding the resources out there. And it was so beautiful. It was amazing. Like,
Sarah, let me get a couple more callers in here, because I think people want to join this conversation with us. Wayne in Canton, you're on Culture Shift.
Hi, it's Wayne. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear that deep radio voice, Wayne. You sound good. What's on your mind?
That's me. Well, I wanted to call, and I'm a recovering alcoholic, and I've been sober for over 3 years now. And, you know, I wanted to share the main reason why I stopped drinking was my daughter was pregnant. She's about to have our first grandchild. And I thought about it long and hard. I was a heavy drinker. I mean, I drank every day. And I said, how can I be a good grandpa, you know, drunk or hungover? And I just decided to quit on that particular day. Now I go to AA meetings, Alcoholics Anonymous, and if there's anyone, and you go in there and you realize, you know, alcohol, there's no boundaries. You know, it's men and women, it's young and old, it's rich and poor, it's all creeds and colors and races of people. All of them are affected by alcoholism. It's a real eye-opening experience. So anyone who's looking for help, I would recommend AA. And you can find a meeting. There's a website. It's AA-SEMI, Southeast Michigan, SEMI.org. And it shows, you can find all the meetings in your area, all the AA meetings.
We appreciate that call, Wayne. Thank you so much. And thanks to all of our callers. And also thanks to Sarah Wood. She writes about sobriety, relationships, and mental health. She recently wrote the article, I'm Tired of Explaining Why I Don't Drink, for The Cut. Definitely a must read. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us on Culture Shift today.
Thank you so much for having me. Thanks, everyone.